Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
This is Gavin McLaughlin with you on News Talk's Taking Stock. We're joined now by Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer with the Economic and Social Research Institute, or ESRI for short. Muireann, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Host in Ireland, which is a representative group for the data centre industry here, they say there's been a 25% jump in operational data centre capacity over the last 12 months. They say we now have 70 in total, 70 data centres, which can take about 900 megawatts of electricity. So what percentage is that roughly of our power consumption here?
Yeah, it's up over 10%. One thing to remember is that there was a kind of a shift in demand patterns in general in 2020 because of the pandemic. So you could say that it's kind of maybe slightly above what we would have expected because the total demand was down a little bit. But it's kind of 11% at the moment and looking to continue to increase.
Yeah, and increase pretty substantially. If you ask Airgrid, which operates our power grid, they say that by 2028, data centres in what they call the median demand scenario are projected to use 29% of Ireland's total electricity. Are we going to be able to cope with that?
Yeah, it's significant for sure. I guess the question is how many of them will actually be built. You know, kind of a lot of data centre applications go in that don't actually happen. But even on kind of conservative projections, it's going to be huge amounts. And then you have to remember as well, the electricity sector itself is expected to grow. So it's 29% of a bigger amount. Are we going to be able to cope with it? I mean, it's not impossible, but it's going to be incredibly challenging, particularly as we're looking to decarbonize the sector in general, mainly through the usage of variable renewable generation, such as wind and solar generation.
Yeah, and let's not forget that there's a lot more other things that are going to be increased in demand. We're going to switch to electric cars, hopefully electric home heating as well. So that's another massive source of strain. And you mentioned the switch to renewables. We've got fossil fuel power stations being switched off. So you have strain on demand and you have strain on supply as well.
Exactly. Yeah. If you look at the government's climate action plan, an awful lot of it is riding on the electricity sector. I mean, there's huge amounts of detail in the plan. But if I had to sum it up, I'd say we want to electrify the transport sector and electrify the heating sector and then use renewables to power our electricity sector. So what that means in practice is that the electricity side of things is going to become bigger and bigger because, as you say, we're looking to have electric vehicles. We're also looking to have more and more heat pumps heating our homes rather than fossil fuels. So we kind of could do without this extra increase in demand from a completely different source altogether, that of data centres. And then there's also the fact that wind and solar are variable. Their output varies throughout the day, but the demand from data centres is pretty fixed. It's kind of what's called baseload demand. Now, there are some new data centres that are able to maybe vary their demand a little bit in response to supply, but it still means that there's a kind of a mismatch between this new demand from data centres and this new supply from renewables. And all of that means more and more challenges for the electricity sector ahead of us over the coming decade.
Yeah. So what are the plans there to cope with that? Because, you know, wind energy, we know, is going to be key, and they're talking a lot about offshore wind. But that variability issue that you raise, we're probably going to have to rely on fossil fuels maybe more than we thought, are we?
I wouldn't say more than we thought. I mean, the target for 2030 is 70% renewable electricity. But of course, that's 70% over the course of the year. So you're certainly going to have some times when you'll have more than 70% of our demand met by renewables, matched with other times when you've got less. But the way that you balance that, there are multiple options available. We've got increased interconnection, for example. There's an interconnector to France that has been commissioned, as well as our two interconnectors to Great Britain, and then looking at increasing options on the demand side to vary its demand. And I suppose that's a big question for any large energy user, whether it's a data set or whether it's a plant in the pharmaceutical sector or something. Can they vary their demand in response to the supply that's available? And indeed, can regular consumers at home do that? And that might be able to go some way toward accommodating this increased demand while also accommodating increased renewables from wind and solar.
One of the issues EirGrid has identified is that most data centres are concentrated around Dublin, and it puts a lot of strain, obviously, on the grid around Dublin, and maybe there are other parts of the country that will be better able to cope. And what EirGrid is saying is, in future, you know, they might tell these guys, look, here's where you need to locate, and also saying the same to wind farm developers as well. Here's where we want you to build a wind farm, just to manage things more efficiently. So I would expect that's got to happen, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, it sounds great in theory, but I suppose I'm just thinking about what it means in practice. I mean, at the moment, if you kind of just show up and want some electricity, you know, even if you're just connecting a new house or something to the grid, EirGrid doesn't tell you, well, we don't like your house being there, it needs to go somewhere else. Having said that, I've done some research on this, and it would certainly make a huge difference if these data centres could locate along what's called the fibre optics corridor, kind of along the communications network outside of Dublin, because the Dublin grid is coming under huge strain, there's no doubt about it. I think one thing that people need to think about is the trade-off between where we put our generation and where we put our transmission. So if you think of, say, an offshore wind project for Dublin Bay, maybe going down as far as Wicklow, there was some talk of wind turbines off Dunlera, for example. If we put the demand, if we put the supply there, because that's where the demand is going to be in the greater Dublin area, what we're essentially doing is we're reducing the need for transmission within the country. Because if we instead put offshore wind turbines off the coast of Mayo or Donegal, then we have to build new pylons and new electricity transmission lines in order to get the supply to Dublin where the demand is. So there's a trade-off there between generation and transmission that people should probably think about.
EirGrid has been fairly sanguine about this whole data centre issue over the last few years. It's a story I followed closely. But there has been a shift now, and the Chief Executive Mark Foley is saying, look, we need to review what we can accommodate with these data centres, and basically saying, you know, maybe some we should take and some we shouldn't. Do you agree with that, Muireann? Do you think we should be saying to some of these people, maybe you shouldn't be here?
Well, I certainly agree with you. I've identified a shift as well in the discussion, for sure. I think the quote unquote benefits of a data center itself are probably overplayed. There's a broader question as to whether or not accommodating a data center means just kind of accommodating the data center owners and data center companies themselves, and whether or not there's a net benefit for Ireland Inc. that way. But certainly I fail to see the massive economic benefits just from having a data center sitting in Ireland guzzling a lot of power. And I think that narrative is starting to creep through, because we have got our work cut out for us in the electricity sector in general. And you would kind of have to ask the question whether or not we're just making things harder than they have to be. But then I suppose the flip side of that argument is, if somebody wants to come and invest in Ireland, a business in any sector, do they not have a right to consume power just like the rest of us? And is it kind of just up to EirGrid to deal with that within the constraints of government policy? So that's where the debate is right now, I suppose.
Yeah, and the industry would say, look, if we want to be an FDI economy, you can't really say to Amazon or Facebook, look, we'll take the office jobs, but you can put your data centre somewhere else. And we should remember as well, I mean, these centres are crucial to the modern economy and things like cloud computing.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when people maybe they're very used to kind of uploading things to Dropbox and to Google Drive and Facebook and all the rest of it, and you just kind of upload it and it's gone. But the thing is, it's not gone. All you've done is you've shifted it from your computer to another computer somewhere else, that other computer being the data center. And we've seen through the pandemic how incredibly important these kind of cloud computing services are. I guess the flip side of that is there any particular reason for them to be physically located in Ireland? There are from a climate point of view, it makes sense for them to be in a colder climate because it decreases the amount of cooling they have to do. These data centers are also becoming more energy efficient, but just the amount of data that we're generating worldwide, that means that the capacity of data centers is simply going to have to continue to increase, even if they become more and more energy efficient.
Our guest here on News Talk is Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer with the Economic and Social Research Institute. And Muireann, I suppose to be fair to these data centre guys, another thing they're talking about doing is what they call power purchase agreements, where they would basically do a deal with a wind farm developer to buy power directly from that developer, and thus it wouldn't you know, it wouldn't come off the general grid. So they can contribute in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the previous target for renewable generation for 2030 was 55%. That was increased to 70% as part of the climate action plan. And at the same time, there was a new target included for 15% of power to come under power purchase agreements. So you'd kind of have to ask yourself, well, 55 plus 15, is that a coincidence? I suppose the question is, it's great if a data center owner or a tech company or anybody really wants to enter a power purchase agreement with a renewable energy project, because what that means is the system is getting the renewable energy without electricity consumers having to subsidize that renewable energy through their bills. But I suppose the real question is, how much of that renewable energy is new renewable energy and how much of it would have been built anyway? And it's really, that's a kind of a known unknown. We're never going to know for sure what the answer to that question is, but it's certainly the case that these things do interact, and they interact in complex ways. And as more and more of our electricity comes from renewable sources and less of it is traded from fossil fuel powered plants, these are questions we're going to have to grapple with as we go forward. What exactly is the right funding and financing model for renewable energy in a very renewable heavy system?
Well, let's dive into that a bit further. I mean, what are the options?
What are the options? Okay, so I suppose when renewables are kind of a fringe player, they just really, they basically always get dispatched because they're always going to be the cheapest thing going, and they just take whatever price is available. But as you get more and more renewables on the system, they're going to push prices lower and lower and lower. And that means, do we even have enough money in the electricity market itself for energy companies to be able to cover their costs? The options are somewhat constrained because the EU to some extent dictates the kind of market design we have. But one of the things we might start to see is electricity bills looking a bit more like our mobile phone bills or our broadband bills. So instead of paying for each unit of electricity you consume, maybe you simply pay a flat fee for electricity as a service, and you have kind of all you can eat, if you know what I mean. Now that would be down the line, but certainly as renewables becomes a larger and larger share of the market, I don't think we can rely on the traditional funding options we've had to date.
That's interesting. And presumably the subsidy to the companies would continue.
Exactly. I mean, at the moment, the subsidy is determined under a new auction framework where you essentially say, here's the subsidy I'm willing to accept to provide this much renewable power. And then just you stack them up from the cheapest to the most expensive, and you award the subsidy until you've hit your target. But if electricity prices continue to be depressed going forwards, then the subsidy people are going to have to ask for is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, on your electricity bill, the subsidy portion shows up as a fixed portion. If you want to look on your electricity bill, it's called the PSO, the public service obligation. That shows up down the bottom, and that's fixed no matter how much electricity you consume. It's just the same either way. So we're already kind of moving in that direction. As the power itself becomes cheaper, but the subsidy becomes more expensive, then your bill is naturally going to move away from a variable component and toward a fixed component over time.
And you'll also probably see costs passed on from what Airgrid is going to have to do to reinforce the network with these programs we were talking about earlier. I mean, it's big, big money involved in that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the big things is the last few winters, supply has been quite tight on the system. And that's driven primarily by the fact that in Northern Ireland, they are kind of at a bit of a crunch in terms of their supply. Now, when our electricity market was founded in 2007, where the Republic and the North kind of merged into a single electricity market. And at that time, it was us who were experiencing supply shortages, and we were leaning heavily on excess supply in the North. Now it's the other way around. And one of the things that would really help that would be to build more transmission between the two systems between the north and the south. But as you say, all of that means extra capital costs, and that all comes off our bills, and it comes off our bills in a fixed manner. So that means that we have to be very careful about vulnerable households who aren't able to, I suppose, reduce their electricity bill by reducing their demand, because these fixed charges are completely out of your control.
What do you expect all this will mean, Muireann, for infrastructure in terms of pylons on the ground? Because communities don't like them.
Communities don't like them. The reality is we can't transmit electricity wirelessly yet. And so if we want to continue to have reliable electricity supply whenever we want it, and if we want more and more renewable electricity to meet our climate targets, then we kind of have to face up to the fact that there's going to be increased transmission. Now, there are alternative options such as storage. We're starting to see some battery storage feature in the market for the first time, really. And what that really means is, in a given location, if you have excess renewable power, instead of requiring a transmission line to send it to where the demand is, you can simply store it at that site in your battery and then discharge that battery at a later stage when you have excess demand over and above the supply. So there are some trade-offs. Also, more flexible generation technologies themselves might decrease the requirement for more transmission lines. But I think it's just a fact of life that pylons are something that we need, unfortunately. They make a big difference. If we have proper transmission, it reduces costs for everybody and it increases security for everybody. So it's a kind of an unpleasant fact of life that it's a piece of vital infrastructure that we're just going to have to accept.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer with the Economic and Social Research Institute. Muireann, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.